Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Shreya says what led her to becoming an aerospace engineer is because she wanted to be the fastest thing on this planet. My chat with her has been a captivating exploration of innovation, perseverance, and also the boundless potential of human ingenuity. She has absolutely amazed me, and I am so inspired by Shreya. She's this young entrepreneur, and I feel that you will also get equally, if not more, inspired by her. So let's just get into the conversation. Melting Pot, a global podcast series hosted by Pyle, connects guests who have inspiring stories and reaches out to a multicultural audience over 52 countries. Guests are diverse, such as celebrities, entrepreneurs, travelers, and many more who've had a turning point in their lives and moved over to a holistic lifestyle. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, social media. Hi, everyone. Today, I am in conversation with the very young and dynamic entrepreneur. Her name is Shreya Rastogi. Shreya is the founder of SR Aerospace, which is a drone parts manufacturing startup. It's based in India, in Bangalore. She is quite dynamic because she also is a licensed private pilot. And I know there are a lot of other credentials to Shreya, but she has done a bachelor's in aerospace and mechanical engineering. So thank you so much for joining me today, Shreya.
Thank you so much for having me, Pyle. And so thank you for such a warm welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So can you tell us about your journey into aerospace engineering and how did you actually, what led you to it?
Honestly, it was as simple as I wanted to be the fastest thing on this planet. It literally started from something as simple as that. And for me to work my way to a fighter jet was pretty like synonymous to being the fastest person. But because I'm short, I realized like that is something that is not possible. So I was like, if I can't fly them, I'll make them and I'll make ones that I can fly them. And then I'll fly those. So I was like, okay, I'm eventually going to build a plane that I will fly. That's how it started, honestly.
Okay. So, and then you just decided to go with it. And of course.
So a little bit context, like my family background is heavily into business. So none of them, and nobody's ever done engineering. And like growing up, like my grandparents were quite conservative. So for my parents to even have the thought of me, we are from a tier two city in India. So for them to even let me go to a boarding school, which I chose, my parents had a very hard time letting me go. My dad had struggled with it. His only concern as a father is that you're going to go to boarding school, go to college, going to get married. I'll probably never have you with me. And it's in your most formative years. I want to be like a part of your day. And for him, I can see how big a compromise it was. But he knew how much I wanted it. And he knew that I saw that there was not much for me to do within the city we were in. So he's, if you're going to do it from the best, like it has to be the best shot you give at life. So I tried and I got through Vellum. Vellum has been quite the journey for me. And there it's almost like over 3 lakh, like 9-year-olds compete to get in and only 50 of them get accepted. That's like a very small percentage of girls. And it's a lot of like competitiveness and there's a lot of pressure in all of this. But when I made it through, my parents are like, if you make it, so will your siblings. That's the motivation they need. So it was like getting a foot through the door. And once that happened, I like knew that if I put enough hard work and I put my mind to it, I can probably get to wherever I want. And so once I settled on making a plane, my parents, like, I could see my mom's skepticism right off the bat. Like, she didn't shy away from hiding it. She's, okay, like, we'll entertain whatever thoughts you have. But my dad, like, how he's always been in my life, he's just like, if you gotta do it, be the best. So go ahead. And then while I was in college, like you said, flying has been a dream of mine. So when I heard about a discovery flight at college, so when I went to University of California, Davis, and there they said that they do discovery flights. I was like, all right, anything that gets me in a plane and at the front seat, I'm all in. So I gave it a shot, and it was love. Like, it genuinely was the first thing I've loved so much in my life. And I think I never looked back after that. It's just been onward and forward. And then as opportunities came my way, it's hard because you're risking it all. And you're like, okay, I'm doing this. So for me, it's not been easy, but I feel like the risk has been worth it all.
Worth it. Yeah. So that's how you set up your manufacturing unit in India, which you, like I mentioned, you manufacture drone parts. And
yes,
for you to have set it up in India and not anywhere else in the world in itself goes to show that you are a go-getter, because the kind of challenges that come with setting up, and especially when it comes to aerospace engineering or anything related to that kind of technology, I'm not sure if India has already developed or it's in the process of developing, which is why you think that this is probably the right time for you to step in.
So there are a couple things like that had me convinced that India makes a great opportunity to do anything I wanted to do. When I was in States, apart from drones, ironically, I worked on everything. I worked on satellites. I've worked on CubeSats. I've worked on aircraft design. Anything under the sun that comes under rocket, like even rocket propulsion, aircraft propulsion. To me, aerospace has been the most exciting space because everything is such an unknown. And I love the challenge it poses. There's so many unknowns. You have to be in the shortest time frame. You have to figure out a whole bunch of things. And it has to be accurate. There's no room for error. There's a lot at stake, money-wise, cost, money, effort, time, all of it. So to me, it's been an exciting space. There was never a time where I could pinpoint, okay, this is what I want to do. And even within the umbrella of aerospace, there is propulsion, there is aerodynamics, there's weight structures. All these are actual verticals that people pursue for entirety of their careers. And for me, I tried them all, not because it was because I couldn't really pinpoint where I'm really good at. This is what I'm certain I want to do for my life. And the more I tried, I was like, I love this. And I love this also. And I love this even more. Anything and everything, even though I initially in my electronics class, I like hated it. I was just like, okay, clearly electronics is a no-go. But I ended up my invention was an electrical-based product. So all of these things led me to believe that clearly I know only as little as what I have seen. Clearly there's so much more beyond me. And for me to grow, I have to keep my mind open and very adaptable to how the times change. And I think once I realized that, I also needed a space where the adoption rate was as quick as what I needed in life. And hence, for me, India made the most sense. I'll give you a quick example. Think about it when landlines first came in. And in India, I remember we were very young. But everywhere else in the world, landline infrastructure was already put in place. In US, in Europe, everybody had landlines. But in India, they had just started. They had taken so much time to put on the roads, but they were undoing them so that they could undo this. And for us, like it was just very evident that as they started, the government started investing in doing the in the infrastructure for the landlines, smartphones came. And people would be like, oh, like it's okay. Like it'll take time for India to adopt. But it didn't. They were so quick to adaptation. And then again, when you fast forward to COVID, that how India as a digitalization, it's a huge population to digitalize. The amount, the spectrum of people from different backgrounds, different languages, everybody to get on board and bring their businesses to a digital platform, that happened all within a very short span. So to me, as a promise of what could be, I felt like India has the most promising future and a lot of potential. And I felt because it's also my home turf, that's just a bonus. It's great. My parents would love to have me back at any given point in time. I love to be back here too. Yeah. So all these accumulated, I knew I wanted to do this here. So that was the first thing that I was doing, whatever it is in India. But once I got back, I actually got to work as a program manager for a flying taxi company out of IIT Madras in Chennai. And that's where I met my best friend, Pranjal Ray. He was my CEO, very dynamic, and he had quite the vision as a 19-year-old. I'm very jealous. I'm just like, at 19 years, I had no care and no sense of the world as much as he did to build something like this. For me, it was incredible to see somebody so put together in that format and that young. And so I was like, okay, like this is clearly where I want to be, in a space where I'm challenged, not just because, like you said, there are different challenges being a woman and like woman of color in other ethnicities and things like that. That is what you face when you're in states or in other places in the world. But when you're in India, there's a whole different room of challenges that you have to address.
And also, I think culturally, it's very important to be able to associate yourself, understand the nuances of the culture, although this is technology and innovation, and it's cutting edge innovation, right? But I think the fact that you have a manufacturing unit which has people of a certain ethnic background or who probably had no understanding of what it actually means. And for you to be able to bring them together, the learning, the training, the expertise, because as you mentioned earlier, you can't afford for, this is something where there is absolutely no margin of error, right?
So, it's very critical.
I think so. A combination of that has obviously its own challenge. And for you to have been able to overcome that speaks volumes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I also have a great team. Honestly, like a great idea is only as good as the team that can execute it. And for me, it's very important that in some ways I've been like lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. And for me, those people have really helped build everything that we do here today. For instance, like a lot of my team's background isn't very streamlined to, oh, they went to college, they got through, this is their job. No, they've had to even struggle their way up into the most basic things. So for them, having a platform that is recognizing their potential is all they need. And that's all I needed to do as a CEO. Like my only job is to create that platform. And I think everything from conception to like execution, my team is right there to do it with me all along. I don't have to encourage them to do it. They're just right there with me, toe to toe, foot to foot. And to me, that's what makes it so exciting, because we all are facing these different challenges every day. So our challenges, most of the times, are not tech related. They are just very logistics and very like nominal things. But then that's how we've been able to become more analytical in how we drive ourselves forward. quickly, like about the business, right? I left ePlane on the 27th September 2022. It's so clear to me. I left in the morning. In the evening, I was in Bangalore. I didn't even have a hotel. I found the first hotel as I entered the city. 2 days later, I signed the lease to the place. 17 days later, we are incorporated. And then in 3 months, we built the facility. It's genuinely, once we were in it, there was no looking back. It had to be like all in. And once we started building, like actually building material, every day I would think to myself, oh my God, we are actually doing this. Oh my God, we are actually doing this. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a dream. We're doing this. And then slowly as my team got put together, we wanted to hire locally as much as we could. My father is a big advocate for women in working space being given equal opportunity. And this is something he advocated for ever since we were young. He thinks that you're just as strong, as smart as the next person, regardless of the gender. And to me, being in that mindset meant I have to create that space in my way too. So in tech, in manufacturing specifically, so you see the gender ratio is quite biased.
Yeah.
In more senses than one. And especially in manufacturing, women typically don't, local women especially more, don't attempt jobs in manufacturing because they think it's labor intensive and things like that. But for me, once we got in it, that was one of the things we had to do. And surprisingly, majority of my staff is only women in manufacturing.
Incredible. I think you get the way you completely, and it filters from the top, right? So
it definitely does.
Yeah.
And even though I'm traveling so much, but I know my team, I just love it when I hear that they have went out for a movie together or they hung out later in the day together. For me, it's, you especially need women friends. Life is just, there's so much going on. And to somebody who's been local in the community, whose world has been relatively smaller and exposure is smaller, I want them to have at least a taste of what the world can be for them if they want to step out and see it for themselves, a space where they're earning at their own terms, they're building a skill set that is treasured, and they will gain only value should they keep moving up. And on top of it, there's a space for them at all given times with us should they need any different type of training or any sort of different areas of expertise that they want to explore. I don't build a team where I'm like, okay, you're specific to these boundaries. I have roles that have boundaries, but not the person that is a boundary. If anybody wants to jump in and try that role, be my guest. Like, you also don't, like, I just didn't know my own potential. I don't think most people don't know what their true potential is until they try it out.
Yeah.
So I want that space to always be there, that, like, that dabble your hands in anything and everything. Once you know for sure that this is something you cannot do, it's okay. We'll look at something else.
Yeah.
So I think, like, having that space, because I see that hesitation in them when they make a mistake, that, oh my God, is this the end? And I was like, no, you can't make the same mistake again, but you can make mistakes and make a bunch of them, because that's the only way you learn. I can put all of these different rules and categories and checklists in place, but unless you try and make the mistake yourself, the learning curve won't be as poignant to you as it would be after making the mistake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's known as keeping your team together. That's known as motivating your team. That's known as also, it's an industry that a lot of them have never been familiar with. And yeah, for you to have actually brought them in, done all the training that's required, and to be able to give them this opportunity to learn.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And it's a very cutting-edge industry, right? And it's only growing, and it's growing exponentially. So I think for you to be able to do that is incredible and very impressive. Shreya, I know that the aerospace industry, at least that's my understanding, is that it's very collaborative in nature.
Yes. So,
have you collaborated with other organizations? What kind of influences have you sought? And what kind of impact has that had? That's one. And two, do you think collaborating with companies outside of India? Because eventually, I guess, your product, I know that it's very... Today, technology in India is like absolutely everyone's trying to get a piece of the pie, right? But are you looking at a global approach as well?
Yes. When we first started, I actually built this entire business model off of my experience from ePlane, where we faced serious issues due to supply chain. There was a lot of dependency, there's a lot of lag, but there was also a stagnancy in innovative growth because people were only using what's available off the shelf. And I have done like a full cycle of aircraft design. And to me, it was very evident that unless a propulsion system is innovated to meet the next generation of aircraft specs, we are still going to be like at a stagnancy stage within the market. And once that realization hit, given I grew up, my family background in metallurgy manufacturing, everything from wood, glass, and metal, I grew up with that. And then I worked in an advanced composites lab in US during my undergrad for over 6 years. So all of that experience meant like manufacturing was a very natural space for me to be in and to think that I can take solutions from a design point of view and scale. Like I realized that that is really where my expertise is. And hence, knowing that the technology we built today has got to be scaled in order for the masses to have. It's really easy for people to build prototype because you give it your all. Prototyping is hard, but like cost-wise, money-wise, the effort and amount of time it takes to produce that one is very different. And especially when you're trying to stage it as a business model that'll generate revenue, it looks very different when you're trying to scale it. So you have an investment in terms of machinery, people, labor, external cost, overhead, and import, exports, logistics costs, all of the, and certification. There's a whole bunch of things that are happening. So to me, it's very clear that propulsion as a space was just left alone because the R&D cycle is higher. The amount of CapEx required to execute it at scale is higher. All of these things meant that these are market entry barriers. And what honestly allowed me to step into this space was just how my background has been. A lot of the machinery that we needed, we didn't have. So we built our own machinery. Like that's genuine, like desperation is key of innovation, I feel. Like we were so desperate. We were like, okay, like we can't find it. We're going to build it. What does it take to build what we need? And we ended up building almost all of our entire machinery. And to me, that spoke about like how much in rhythm my team was in what we are trying to do here. Because it's so easy for people to be like, okay, it's not here. Let's redo this. Let's go back to the board. But my team's opinion is not that. They're like, okay, it's not here. How can we make it happen? Like, that's the mindset that we work with. So once we were there, it was just about building what we want to build. And once we built it, we realized that the market is so used to using what's been available. To move that needle over to a new and innovative product is really hard, because aerospace industry, the way it's built up, is it's about having a lot of hours worked under you. The product should have built a certain amount of reliability, accountability, traceability. All of these things is what essentially aerospace stands for. And hence, for us to build that sort of repute in the market, we went ahead for a aerospace licensing, like both as a manufacturer and a distribution. And as a business, to me, that made the most sense. It helps my team like streamline the processes they do in a certain way. It assures that there's accountability and traceability at every step of the way. But also, it makes sure that my customers feel some amount of confidence trying out a new product, because eventually it's a part of a bigger product, and that bigger product is very expensive. So I do want to make my clients feel as secure in using our product as we can. And so we did all the licensing, but then we also ran a pilot program within India with a lot of companies. We gave them free samples to get a market feedback on how the product really is. And my expectations are, okay, I'm not trying to overdo anything here, but just I want to be able to replace at least what exists in the market right now. So it's a building block. Like, you replace with what there is. And then when we offer something new, our brand's quality, which they would have experienced over time, would be like synonym to when we launch a new product in the market, that they will carry this quality forward. So hence, we are more open to trying this new product. And that's the kind of brand image we wanted to build towards at the time. So we did, and my team, they always do me proud. We got like an average of 5 to 8% efficiency gain. Mind you, this is really big in our industry, about 2 to 3% efficiency gain, even in the bigger aircrafts, cause a new design to come, like a new airplane is there. And that's how radical this is, because everything's been done and dusted so many times. People have optimized every nook, every gram, every milligram in this design. So for us to be able to bring that efficiency gain meant a lot. And I think that's just what like propelled us forward. Okay, like, we are ready for the next step, which is first is the propellers, then we'll do the motors. And then once we started doing the motors, we realized that there are a lot more players who do motors than they do propellers. And for as a business market, we are codependent. My success is not mine alone if I just keep selling propellers. It's only successful if there are a lot more drones out there being sold and being flown. And to me, that's the where the collaboration really exists. Like, I want our products to be reliable and give us more robust performance and for a competitive price in the market. If I price it also too high, then it becomes out of reach for a lot of people. But I'm also like trying to match the people who are already in business of scaling, who've done their proof of concept, who are trying to build this product in a way, their products in a way, so that it can reach a bigger number of people and alleviate a lot of different problems in different people's lives. So having said that, we first started with the Indian market, and it's only been a couple of years. So I feel like the growth in the industry has been very rampant. But at the same time, the stage at what we are building, they're yet to reach. And we are here. We want to be as ready for that when they are ready. But for now, we are into exports and we're dealing a little bit more on the global front with the Middle East and the European and the American market. So yeah, that's where this is right now.
Okay, yeah, we've talked about collaboration now. You've mentioned quality control and how important it is and how you're so proud of your team because they absolutely ensure that there is quality control. and your facility and how it's not just drone parts, but because you obviously need for it to be, it can't be restricted to that because of the how rapidly it's the industry is evolving. Yeah, so
we are not just catering, like we initially started as a drone part manufacturer, but on our way, just say like 4 months into the entire setup, we realized what we are doing is catering to a bigger market than just drones. There's urban air mobility programs, there's advanced air mobility programs. The difference between the two typically comes into the amount of range and flight times both offer. One is meant for shop tops, the other is meant for like intercity travel. But eventually what I can see, the world is slowly gearing up to more greener and cleaner technologies. And that's what we also want to play a big hand wherever we can. And hence our size range is not limited to just the small drones. I know it looks like we do parts, so it must be like the small drones. We actually do very quickly. Drones are divvied up based on their weight categories very broadly. So you have under 250 grams, 250 to 2 kilograms, 2 kilograms to 25 kilograms. So we cater from 2 kilograms and upwards, which is like the small, and then 25 to 150 kgs is medium, and 150 and upwards is large. So we cater to these bigger ones where they're trying to not just optimize in terms of performance, but also in weight and volume. Aerospace is essentially, that's where it's so cool that you're not just chasing performance. You have to optimize it for every like ounce that you've put on there, for the every volume unit that is on there. So to me, it's like very clever engineering put together. And so essentially, when you're doing all of these different elements, powertrain, if it is very robust, you will get the best unit economics out of your flight system. And I think that's what people genuinely really want. The user, the manufacturers, and as an OEM, our job is to deliver what we promise. Like as long, and I think one of the key differentials between what has existed so far in the industry and how, what we bring to the table are far different from each other. And this is something I realized after we launched the product, which is really surprising because I visited expos a lot to understand what the world is doing, how they've evolved. They have like over 20, 30 years into this industry, whereas Indian industries only had a couple years. So I was like, okay, look, let's learn from what they have done before and we'll incorporate that in what we want to do now. And there I really got to understand that people have gone through complete cycles of owning a drone, running a drone, using a drone. And their key insights is that it's just like an aircraft. You can buy an aircraft. When people think, you know, the one that I flew, it's $170,000. Some of the cars cost that much, but that's what the cost of owning a plane is. But maintaining it is a whole different world, because cost upfront is $170,000, but like maintaining is like about $10,000 a month on average if you're running it consecutively, and then a $25,000 annual cost. So within the first 2 years of owning your plane, you've spent more money than that you spent on the plane. And that similar parallel can be drawn to owning a drone. You clearly have certain parts you need to invest a little bit more in. So propellers and batteries make up a bigger chunk of it. And hence, that's why we understood that propellers had to offer not just performance, but also longevity. And that's where there were different target problems we were trying to solve. So when we sat on the board, I made our head of innovations sit together with our manufacturing. I was like, you have great designs, I get it, but he needs to execute it. So you both need to be in the same room and we all need to talk really well to make this happen. And I think that's where we've been doing things a lot differently than the traditional route, where people only work on their design and simulations. All our products are tested in the field. We actually test out the product, all the data we've given, is tested. It's not simulated or assumed or like whatever the other industrial partners have done. I understand where they, because there are certain limitations to do it. My team was just adamant we had to test it. I was like, okay, we are not putting any data out that is not tested. So we just decided to roll with that.
So that obviously takes it because you're first you're manufacturing it and then you're, I mean, okay, quality control and all of that aside, it's only after you test it that you actually say, okay, now it's ready to go. So that takes time as well, and time equals money. So
money.
Yeah.
Everybody assesses manufacturing at scale and how much they can optimize by the seconds. For us, like in aerospace, if that is how we chase, I think it would be hard, but it's also something we cannot let go of. But one thing that has been very clear to me from the beginning is that it's about quality work. One propeller can take us down. So that it's our job to make sure that every step of the way we do such a rigid quality control that the previous person's job is valued to the next person. My entire team in manufacturing, like I said, they're not taught, okay, you must do it this way or this is an expensive material. They're taught like you need to do well because somebody has put more effort before you. And in order for them to feel respected, it's your job to make sure you carry out your work well. And together as a team, we'll put out a great product. And I think that's what's really built the kind of great work we are seeing today.
That's amazing, Shreya. I could just be listening to you for the next hour, but I'm mindful of time. And I think the kind of work that you're doing and the fact that you also knew when to step in and it's at the right time. And I think you've got years and years ahead of you. And with the rapid pace at which the innovation happens, especially in this industry, I think it's a constant learning, right? And development, yeah.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, I know we're short on time, but last few seconds, be surprised that how quick the turnaround is in the industry, even though it's been around for so long. And I think that that's what makes it so exciting. Nothing in technology can stay forever. There is going to be somebody who outdoes you. And for me, as an entrepreneur, it's very key to be in this space in a way where I outdo the work we are doing here. Our team as a company, we are the only ones outdoing the work we've done previously. So when we sat on the board, I was like, okay, this is one great idea. What are the next three? So we were already, I am somebody who works as backups to backup. So I'm already
kind of competing with yourself. Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I think that's what makes you so dynamic. And when we started this conversation about how you mentioned the fact that you are always wanting to go ahead and you want to move as fast as you can. And so in this way, you're thinking three steps or five steps ahead already. And so that it's going to be like a constant. And I think that is incredible. And I think that's going to take you really far. So good luck. And I'm so happy that we've had this conversation.
I'm happy, really happy that we could touch base again. And it was such a nice conversation to talk to you.
Perfect. You have a wonderful rest of the day and stay in touch. And good luck again.
Thank you so much, Payal. Have a good one. Bye. Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye. Bye. Bye.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.